Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to the K Thompson Live Show. It's that time at 8 o'clock. At the 8 o'clock hour on a Wednesday evening, 8 to 9 hour, where we do it live every week, most weeks. And this is the Blog Talk Radio Network. This is the K Thompson Live Show. I am one of the co-hosts, sometimes known as the Sun, Citizen Eric Payne. How you doing, everybody? Today's the 31st of January, 2018, day after the president's first State of the Union, Donald Trump. You wanted to say, here's Kay Thompson.
Yes, hello everyone. Welcome to Kay Thompson Live. Another exciting show for you tonight, and we're going to be talking to Mal Wolfer. You remember Mal Wolfer from WLIB, BLS, and he was in the advertising department, and everybody knows that name, and we're going to be talking to him not only about some political issues, but also what his business is. Are doing and how he's going to be very much involved with our show coming up and also in the future. So, we're going to be waiting for him to call in. So that's what we're going to be talking about. And also, of course, we're going to be talking about politics, right, Eric?
Yep. Okay, everybody, let's talk about, like you said, we're talking about politics. And also want to welcome one of our other co-hosts, Mr. Byron Saunders. Hey, Byron, what's happening, brother? How you doing?
Well, I'm blessed and highly favored back in New York City. I was in Florida last week.
For 1 second. Maybe you're got us on hold for a second. Yeah, so like we're talking about, I'm just going to keep your mic open there, Byron, if this is you.
Yes, it is me.
Okay. And like I said, the State of the Union address was happening last night. Oh, maybe you're responding. Go ahead, Byron.
I was in Florida last week, so this week I'm back home in cold New York City, and it's good to be back. There's no place like home. But I should have brought some warm weather back with me to thaw some of this cold that's coming out of Washington, D.C., but I'm good.
You're good. I'm glad, Byron. You're getting a cold, you saying?
Well, it's cold here in New York City. Oh, my gosh. I was in 70 to 7-degree weather.
Poor thing. What do you think we're doing in New Jersey? You must think the sun is out here in New Jersey.
Right.
I was in the city not too long ago. I don't like it anymore.
Right.
It's difficult to get around. Too many big buildings and too much traffic, and it's a pain in the neck. Downtown Manhattan. Oh boy,
yeah, it really is.
I'm so
yes.
I'm
really
so
is.
Glad I don't have to come into LIBVLS anymore.
Oh yes. Well, you have missed on those stations, believe me. But it's good that we have the K Thompson Live Show, so those who miss you can tune in here every Wednesday.
Yeah, we're going to be continuing with this edition of our show. We're expecting Wayne to call in very soon, and Wayne, of course, is a former news director at WLIB. And also we're waiting to hear from Mal Wolfolk. A lot of people know about Mal, and he was key to LIBBLS, especially in the advertising department, and also a lot of information and so many different businesses that he was involved with. As a matter of fact, a lot of people don't know that Mal was really involved with like about 6 different clubs in Manhattan, downtown Manhattan. Did you know that?
No, my goodness. Very busy man.
Yeah. So he was quite a businessman. So, and still is. So, we count on him a lot. Did you watch anything about the Trump dump?
Yes, I did. Stunning and not stunning is the fact that he continues to lie, and that's part of his
of
M.O.
Course.
And
mm-hmm.
to try to believe a person who is a pathological serial liar about anything that may be of substance is like the boy who cried wolf. And at some point, you turn off a deaf ear to that. And it's unfortunate, but this is who we have in the Oval Office. And I was happy to see the Democrats take a stand, both physically by not standing and sitting, and also politically by calling out the president where he was absolutely telling a lie. That's what you have to do.
Yeah, yeah. And more people should do that. Listen, Byron, yeah. You were working in New York at that particular time. You were very much aware also of Donald Trump, right? As we
yes.
all were.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And ultimately, I mean, the Central Park Five, for instance, it still has, he has yet to apologize to five young men who were proven to be innocent after he took out two full-page ads, I believe, in New York Times, calling for the death penalty of innocent African-American men. That sticks in your craw, okay? And there's no way you can get around that, and then you start multiplying the incidences of his racist positions and policy, and you begin to realize this person is a danger to our national security.
Wow. What have you heard about him during that time that you were in New York? In fact, you're a New Yorker, right?
Well, I moved from Atlanta twice to come back to New York in 2009. So I was here for 12 years previous to that, and then since 2009 I've been here. So following Trump, you know, I remember him when he was the owner of the New Jersey Generals. You know, he had Herschel Walker on his team. I remember him with the failed casinos in Atlantic City and how he stiffed the employees and contractors there. I remember his failed West Side Development Corporation, where there was supposed to be some Trump Towers on the west side, the Hudson West Side Drive area down there in the rail yards. That's another failure of one of his businesses. So, yes, Donald Trump is I'm very familiar with not only his so-called successes, but also his failures, which seem to outweigh on a balance sheet larger than his successes.
Yeah, let's bring it up. My mom was talking about back in the day. Let's bring it up a little bit more recent, like talk about like today, and we watched him pile it on. I didn't really pay attention to the State of the Union. I didn't get a chance to watch it yesterday. It's kind of like that battle fatigue syndrome, you know, that a lot of people, clear thinking people in this country, are suffering from. You know, they get that Trump overload because it's like something every day with this guy. You know, he's like a constant. You know how it is, Byron, being in New York, you go out and you make that hustle, right? And so a lot of people on the East Coast and those big urban cities, and I'm sure over all across the country, even though it's a different pace of hustle in those people in the flowers. So don't you folks that live in the Midwest and those places that automatically assume when we're talking about urban areas that we're leaving you guys out in terms of relating to you guys in terms of being Americans in the common everyday things we all go through to achieve the American dream. It's just a different form. So certainly in New York City where it's fast-paced, the hustle is fast-paced, so there's always something every day, and that's what I mean, the difference between the big urban areas and some of those other areas where things might take a little bit more time for you to have to deal with. So in New York, there's always something every day, right? You always go out, you're going out, you're making that hustle, that daily hustle, you know, and it's something every day you got to deal with. You got to keep your eyes open every day, and that's how, and you kind of get a little fatigue, you know, you come home after a long day, you sit down, you unwind, and you know, that kind of pace, you know, that's why they call it a rat race. And so some people get shell-shocked. That's why they go away on vacation and stuff like that. So what you experience with Donald Trump is that vibe. You need to take a break from the constant barrage of bull stuff that this guy is throwing at the American public. And it's always just, and they're working on every level of the government. These people are working to spread disinformation, misinformation, lies, to really create chaos. It's kind of I don't know if that's what the chaos theory is, but they create chaos and make people believe that what's down is up, what's up is down, and you can't believe any areas of authority, things that represent authority. That's why they're challenging the Justice Department and their own FBI. People that he appoints, he's challenging them because they will not do what he wants to do. It's something every day with this guy. If it's not him operating on one level, you got to watch John Kelly on the other level because, you know, he's willing to lie about anything, too, we've seen. Got to watch his press secretary because, you know, she lies, too. They all, and now you got to watch these Republican individuals like Devin Nunes and these other ones who are kind of trying to throw cover for him in creating that distraction, you know, the distraction with this memo today, which is really, it's a memo. It's nothing official. A memo is something in the office that somebody writes up based on some opinions that they have, and they circulate. That's called a memo. But to act like it's some sort of official document that's gone through some sort of committee or something, and it has some sort of authoritative weight is ridiculous. But this is the problem that we have when we have in a society that is not highly educated. And once again, that's going back to our problem of people that voted for this guy not having been college-educated individuals and having a limited ability to figure complicated issues out, and then not being able to see how much is bull dinky and how much is not. And I'm just saying, not to even jump over and completely believe what the Democrats are saying, all I'm saying is think for yourself, because that's really what the freedom of the United States is, right? Think for yourself.
Absolutely.
Even our guys. Even
oh,
we
yeah.
disagree
and
with our guys, right? We disagree
that,
with
well,
our own.
Every once in a while, you and I disagree, but not often. You know, we kind of have
right.
like minds. But with respect to the Republicans and the Democrats, I find that Devin Nunes, let's just for an example.
Yeah.
He recused himself from the investigation because of his own involvement. If he recused himself, how is it that he is able to supersede or circumvent the protocol and create a memo, one in which his underlings wrote? He has yet to read it, I understand, and
mm-hmm.
he's representing
mm-hmm.
it as the chair of his committee for which he recused himself. So at the
right.
point at which the good question that must be asked is, and really come to find out, how much of what he is doing is being orchestrated by the White House? Because at some point, he is part of the obstruction of justice. I don't care how
yes,
you
sir.
Define it. You know, you have to come clean with this, because as a point person, both inside and outside, let's call him the mole, for which he
mm-hmm.
is actually identified himself as the mole when he recused himself.
Yeah.
Remember, he took this information
the
to
time.
The White House. That's right. And so it's almost like they want us to forget the incidences for which they actually participated, and leading one to believe that if Mueller wants has any credibility, all of these Republicans, including the president and his administrative staff, including counsel, legal counsel members, including representatives in the Congress and in the Senate, who are participating in one of the most massive cover-ups of obstruction of justice that this country has ever witnessed in history. And you can put
yes,
that
sir.
In the bank.
Creating the chaos.
So
that goes back to the chaos.
Yeah,
right?
Oh, yeah.
You can't trust anything,
yeah.
so everything is chaos, and that you are right. And they are all to conspiracy.
Yeah.
To overthrow
yes.
the government. Treason.
That's right.
Just as it came
it's
out
treason.
That Trump decided not to go forward with the what was the thing with Russia, right? The sanctions or
yes.
whatever.
The,
that he
the
decided
sanctions.
Not to renew
yes.
or whatever. This guy is clearly covering up his crimes. People don't
yes.
seem not to understand. All you can do is watch a movie. Watch a mob movie, watch a political intrigue movie to see that his moves are so basic you could tell what he's gonna
yes.
do next.
Absolutely.
I mean, this man,
he's
very this is what I'm saying. It's the blind allegiance that I would suggest that people who might be of the Republican persuasion that might happen to listen to our show, I would implore you to think for yourself. If you're not a straight racist white nationalist and you're willing to, and your mentality is the hell with them, and if you could screw them, I don't mind you screwing me a little bit. You know, I don't mind my taxes going up a little bit if their taxes is going up. I don't, just as long as you keep them people out the country, them immigrants out the country, and just, you know. So if you're all the way to that extreme, then, yeah, you're just drinking the Kool-Aid, and you're just waiting another glass, a jar of Kool-Aid for this guy. But if you think for yourself just a little bit, if you're looking
at the thing that's very –
a little
right.
bit.
The other thing
you know,
is
you're
going to
have
you're going to
weigh things out a little bit.
Right.
Go ahead.
And then what I was about to say, that the other thing I find extremely disturbing is the amount of emphasis every piece of legislation and priority right now that the president is pushing as an agenda starts off with military. And and remember, they test fired a defense system today that's supposed to shoot down incoming intercontinental ballistic missiles from the enemy. It failed. This was the second failure. 38 minutes, Hawaiians 2 weeks ago on a Saturday thought the end of the world was here. The constant reflection of military buildup, police, and, you know, the use of force, this more money for defense, when already 70 cents out of every tax dollar goes to a defense budget. Now, the reason why we have to really understand, well, why are the Republicans always pushing the military agenda? Every one of the red states, Eric and Kay.
Which is no
that
new
are,
news. Which is not new
That's
news.
Right. They are contracting. They are under – they get the contracts, the major contracts for the Defense Department spend expenditures, including jobs, which all those red states are using the defense contract monies for building airplanes, building tanks.
Exactly.
Sending
that's
out
high
cut. That's right. And who is the number one? That's right. Who's the number one weapons arms merchant in the world? The United States. So we're not exporting peace. We're constantly exporting war and chaos.
Exactly.
Now, you have to go back to the 2012. Right. You have to go back in the second administration of the Obama administration. It was during that time where he proposed cutting drastically some of the defense money so that they could pour it into the infrastructure. Who raised all the hell? Every one of those Republican senators and congresspersons who have been receiving the largesse of the defense budget contract.
Exactly. And let me spin off you. Let me spin off you on that too. Now, but not only was he talking about cutting the budget, he was talking about having a more smarter, efficient military.
Yes.
Right. So, and what happens, as we know, with the improvements in technology, automation, that means some jobs are lost. Some rank and file jobs are lost. Right. So what happens then is that means some companies become obsolete because some of those things that they did are now done in different ways with different technology, and some of the tasks they fulfilled have become obsolete. So sometimes, like they say, technology is not always the best thing because you end up losing jobs and making less money when you find ways to work things more efficiently. So clearly that wasn't the exact thing they wanted to do. Although Obama was talking about improving the military, he was cutting back on those fat areas that you're talking about. That's what specifically what he was trying to do. And like you said, they had a beef with that. Now, what you're talking about really goes back to the days of Ike, right? When he was talking about the military-industrial complex, right? So that line item in the budget for the military has always been the majority of the budget since way back, in the 40s, I would suppose, or the early 50s at the very least. So, I mean, it's nothing new. Of course, every Republican has pushed, like you said, for those obvious reasons that have come up as well, additional reasons for that. It's just like why we don't want to get off of coal energy and transfer over to solar and wind. The technology is there, and the experts say the potential for jobs and employment is there, but clearly it's less efficient. When you have something that's less efficient and runs more dirty, that means the people making the money can run the business cheaper, reaping more rewards, right? Reaping more profits because they don't have to take care of all of the stuff that they need to take care of when, A, you treat people right, and, B, when you have technology coming and everything gets automated, so to speak. Let's get our other co-host. I believe this is going to be Wayne Gilman in here if I can get my mouse to act right. But you while I'm doing that, Byron, what's your you agree with what I'm saying, or what's your assessment on my spinoff on addition onto?
I agree with you. You know, and that's the issue the Democrats must attack for the upcoming midterm elections. They have to start reconstructing every piece of the Republican agenda with and do it with an intention of breaking down those criminal acts of treason, because they have been involved, the Republican Party, and even some Democrats have been involved.
That's exactly right. Let's get Wayne in here. Hey, Wayne, yes. Are you on the line now, Wayne?
Yes, I am. Greetings, all. And I have to say, Eric, your mouth is working fine, and obviously you missed last night's memo about coal being clean.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, but I guess we could go on and on. I'm assuming that has been the focus of discussion. In the pantheon of speeches given by presidents every year, the State of the Unions, that has to go down as probably one of the worst, next to James Buchanan and probably some other presidents I'm not, you know, even familiar with. I mean, it's just that, you know, they came in with their agenda. It was a Republican agenda. There were a lot of things that were, you know, left out. And it's just unfortunate that he's talking about wanting to bring the country together hours before the speech is given. And then he does everything in his within his means to show divisiveness, and it's like, I guess the thing that really bothers me the most is that he still has aspirations of bringing people together, but he's dismissing everything he's done the last 12 months and beyond. You know, I don't get it, and as I said, I think there's some bipolar problem going on there that hasn't come to the surface yet. And I really think that we're on the fast track with Mueller with respect to the investigation. And it seems like his cabinet is still falling apart. There was, the head of the CDC, she had to resign today. And then there's something now with Ben Carson having committed an impropriety with his family. And it seems like Ben Carson cannot conduct government business without his family being involved. You know, I'm assuming we're paying for them as well. You know, it just saddens me what goes on, you know. And then you have the Dreamers, the Me Too movement, you know. You have people in the audience last night, Trinidad activist Ravi Rakhbir. He's on a precipice of being sent back to Trinidad, and he's gotten growing support from both sides of the aisle for his reasons for staying, and it's that kind of polarization that Trump talks about, and you know, as his means of wanting to, you know, keep families together, to keep people in lockstep with a particular point of view, but his point of view is so archaic, outdated, and old, I just don't see where it's going to continue to exist. You know, without...
Well, his point of view is... Okay, William, finish your point. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say that without having, a landslide turnover in Congress come November, which I hope we get to do, all of us have got to go out to the polls. You know, we've got to go back to the old civil rights activities of knocking on doors, asking people, regardless of what their party affiliation is, to get out and vote on election day. There should be efforts to have pre-voting before the election. I don't know what goes on in your state. I know there's an effort in New York trying to bring that about. To me, this should be something that goes on across the country. You know, it's already active in a number of states.
Well, here, I mean, I agree with you that I think to protect voting, first off, we need to have an educated populace, right? Because the people that vote, I think the last election, the percentage of Americans, I think what Hillary got 61, 62 million, Trump got about the same. That's roughly 122 million Americans. There's 300 million Americans that live in the country. So that's a little bit less than 50% that actually took the time out to vote in a presidential election, one as pivotal as that. So that tells you that half of our country is disengaged to a certain degree to politics. Half of our country just takes America as it is and just tries to live their life and keep their head down and do the best they can. And very few things can make them really get involved. And that's a bad thing, a little bit of a good thing, but I think more bad that they don't pay attention to the direction of this country and that you have individuals that get in certain offices, certain positions, whether they're Democrat, Republican, or independent. Human nature allows people to take advantage of things. Greed, those old basic seven deadly sins that affect all human beings, allow people to take advantage, to lie, to cheat, to steal, all of those negative things that human beings do. If you get those individuals in positions of power, those things will come out, right? If someone is truly like that, I mean, Trump is only being Trump, right? Rough, tumble businessman in New York, a little bit of a liar, a little bit of full of it, rich guy who happens to be a rich guy that happens to be an asshole, one of those guys who doesn't care. Everything's been my way. I've had my way my whole life. People work for me. I say jump. They say how high. I can get whatever I want. I am above the law. Sometimes I push the American law. That's why he had the opinions he has about America, because he doesn't really play. So he's used to running his life like that. Now when he gets in a position where he has to compromise that, where it's just not all my way or the highway, or at least the image is not that, he's having problems and is creating all this. This guy, I mean, for his own purposes, he's clearly willing to start a whole civil war if it serves his purpose. If he can
I mean, he's blithely unaware and could care less. I mean, as long as it's not nuclear, I guess he's fine with that. But you know, it's the whole mindset.
He doesn't allow them to make their money. That's why he finds people. That's why he finds strong men and dictators and all these individuals attractive, because they have controlled their country. They have seized power and continue to control their nations in a way that allows just enough freedom for the people to go about. And he sees that within the parameters of America, you have to play into the freedom, but you still have to get the sheep that are going to go along with that buy into, hey, buy American, look and see what I'm doing. You know, I'm making stuff for Americans, buy my shirts. You know, remember that time when Letterman busted him out on the Late Show, right? When he had Trump designs that were the Macy's, and Letterman said, oh, this is a nice shirt. Oh, it's like, let me look at the back of the tag.
Where is it made?
made in China. And the guy was just sitting there talking about America, dogging out President Obama, and Letterman just said, but your shirt is made in China. What are you talking about?
And he smiles. Clearly, he smiles,
and he gives this sheepish grin, like, but he continues. He continues with the lie, like that's just a bump on the road. And clearly, there are people that are in so much agreement with this man. That's okay with them. That's okay that he wants to cut back on the diversity visa program, which would keep people from nations that he had the nerve, the gall to call shithole nations from coming here, where he wants to make immigration just solely a European, Nordic, white person thing, that only those type of immigrants can get in this country. And these guys,
well,
mission is next. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I thought the Joe Kennedy response was excellent. I mean, it was almost flawless. You know, it was he addressed every point succinctly, and you know, I'm curious to see what the Republican reaction has been. I haven't had a chance to really follow up on what goes on with regard to criticism of that speech. But, you know, the response, I think, is on point. And if it doesn't happen with this generation, I have faith that the millennials have awoken at this point. They are ready to participate. I think to see a lot of what advantages that were given to us in the past 8 years, you know, suddenly kicked to the curb, is going to make significant changes in the next couple of elections. And I still remain, maybe I'm looking at the glass half full, but the bottom line is I just see this guy not even finishing his term in office. I just feel that things will sooner or later will have to turn back to what they should be. And there are enough people who are there are enough Republicans leaving their elected offices to show their discontent basically with the agenda. And and I think that speaks volumes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keep hope alive.
Yeah, that's all we can do.
Keep hope alive. That's right. Simply because the numbers suggest we are the majority. We people of color, Asians,
right.
Black African Americans, Hispanic speaking people, LGBTQIA.
Yeah.
There is a growing, and you're right, Wayne, the growing numbers indicate and suggest that the base, the so-called Republican base, is no more than about 20%. It's been reducing,
right,
and following,
right,
you know, it's been, and lowering it because of the underachieving administration. If all you have after a year of trying to be the CEO and the chief in charge as president, and the only thing you have to tout is a tax plan that you shove through Congress and the Senate without appropriate committee hearings. And it's been proven that the top 1% are the only people who are going to benefit from this.
Exactly.
Now,
yeah.
Now, how do you rest your laurels on something that is not for everybody? You can't prove that it will be for everybody, because everywhere they turn, and the reason why these congressmen and senators, especially Republicans, who are saying they're no longer going to retain their office, is because they know when they go back home, they're going to catch hell, and rightfully so, even from the base, because the base,
right,
is,
yeah,
minimal, and it's going to start showing up at their Republican meeting. You're going to start seeing Democrats coming to those meetings and challenging the Republicans.
Right. Their base is crazy, and their base doesn't understand that what you just said, that they have to broaden their tent as opposed to limit it. Because the way the nation is going, it's becoming browner. But that's something that Wayne, you, my mom, and everybody at WLIB was talking about all those years ago, that in certain year 2000, whatever, the United States was projected to be a majority country, that is a majority of people of color. And the way that the traditional population has tried to control that, I mean, you remember back the time in slavery times when there were too many slaves. The slaves were outnumbering the slave masters, the slave owners, at one point during slavery, and they had to stop as much bringing them over here and murdered off a lot of them. So it's always that attempt to control that population. And I see, you know, if you get an individual like Trump, people that are even further to the left, if they can put all the mechanisms in place where they can control the vote, control the mechanisms of voting, you know, they're going to try and do that. Where they're going to try to work it, you know, where they could have a minority rule the majority population, which is really already the case in terms of, from a financial perspective, a minority of people who have the majority of wealth rule the majority of the population in this country. So, I mean, it's always been that. It's just now they're going through these machinations to try and maintain that control. And they have a crazy guy in there who is rallying up their base, the most enthusiastic, to a certain degree, but they still want to temper that, right? They're all trying to ride it out, right? They're trying to ride out that crazy Tea Party energy that has gone all crazy now. That's why they say just enough. You know, they kind of like Ryan. Well, he thinks that the president should, you know, release the memo and have that and his malfeasance, but he shouldn't fire Mueller and he shouldn't mess with Rosenstein. These guys are just trying to have it both ways. They're talking out of both sides of their mouth to find out what's going to get them more mileage. and you get people like someone like a Trent Gowdy or other individuals who have a modicum of integrity that came to serve, but they're a part of that agenda, but they at least wanted to do it in a fair and just way.
Exactly.
They get tired of that. And they're going to be primaried by people who are further to the right than they are, and they're like, why the hell should I continue this? Because, you know, that's a cushy job to have. That's a cushy job to have. Once you get it, it's not a bad job to do. So it really must be, they really must be feeling some pressure to offer all of them to decide, you know what? I mean, I'm talking about these aren't guys that are retiring after 10, 20 years in office. These guys are retiring after 6, 7 years. So that's
exactly.
Got to tell you.
Right. Well, the handwriting's on the wall.
How crazy it is for them.
And I wonder what it's going to take to change the Republican Party to bring it back. You know, we're not a monolith in this country. And even when you look at the black vote, you know, there are a lot of blacks who are conservative. Ben Carson is not someone who just sits out by himself there. But there's got to be some sort of political realignment in terms of how that party projects itself in order to have a foothold in the process in the future, you know, because they're so helter-skelter. And half the Republicans last year, you know, when they were trying to come up with a nominee that basically, you know, competed against Trump, you know, a lot of them had despicable, tasteless things to say about this man. And then all of a sudden, you know, they're ponying up to him like as if he was the second coming of Christ, God forbid.
Right.
And, you know, it's just one of those things that it's unfathomable. Like, it doesn't, to me, he is so drunk with power. And we've seen this in history time and again when you have people like that, you know, sooner or later, the tables turn. And I just hope that it, you know, it turns even faster and that we get past some of the damage that's already been done. I was so happy to read the other day that people like Warren Buffett and some of the other wealthy business owners are in an effect of the stock market as far as trying to bring healthcare costs down. You know, I'm at an age now where something like that is beginning to affect me for the first time in my life. And it's just amazing to see what people have to go through. I mean, we have an epidemic here with the flu, and I understand Thermoflu, I think that's what they call it, that is considered a relief mechanism to counter the flu. They want $100 a pop for that. I mean, where the heck does that $100? People have to choose between eating and suffering from the flu and dying,
I mean, that's the problem of having a capitalist society, right? Capitalist society says, well, we can make a business out of medicine, which is kind of mind-baffling to me that you're going to make a business out of healthcare, but that's what we do. So then they put on the market, well, we can sell it for whatever we want, just like that idiot young guy who I'm glad went to jail who raised the price 5,000% on those pins. But, you know, let's put a pin in this now because I've put on the description of the show that we're also going to talk about the Super Bowl and the Black Panther. So who do you guys like in the Super Bowl? I guess I don't know if Mal got held up, Mal Wolfolk, but if we don't get a chance to talk to him tonight before the end of tonight's show, we'll definitely have him on next week or whenever his schedule is available. But who do you guys like for the Super Bowl?
I say the Eagles. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I like you. I like you too.
No, I'm just sick and tired. You know, I the Patriots
talking
are great.
Talking to three East Coast guys.
You know,
three New Yorkers, and, three New York type dudes here.
You know, and I'm just tired of it. You know, it's like I think last year's Super Bowl was very interesting. I think they could never top that again. No time soon, you know? But at this, you know, it would just be nice.
A team falling apart like the Falcons did, you could never top that.
I don't understand how that happened, but it happened.
30 seconds.
59 minutes, 30 seconds. You have to play the full 60 minutes to win, y'all.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
They say.
I mean, it was amazing how they came back in one quarter and changed the whole perspective, you know? And, you know, I mean, I give the guy, he's probably the greatest quarterback to ever live, you know? Mm. But,
yeah.
Well, okay. I mean, no. I mean, because I'm not going to sit here and act like as if I'm the most knowledgeable individual when it comes to football. But the bottom line is that the man has had a tremendous track record. And, you know, he's going into his, what, 12? I forgot how many seasons he's been playing.
He's good. God bless him. I mean, you know, he might have had a little help along the way. You know, they say, you know, those guys, they do things a little slippery over there. But, you know, I realized that I have to apologize to any Patriots fans because, you know, I'm talking to two other people that are from the New York, New Jersey area, so we don't really have a real strong love for those teams up there. But
and they don't have a love for us either.
Absolutely.
You can't walk, can't go into Boston wearing a Yankee uniform or anything.
Don't even try it.
Hey, but are they and Byron? You, after this, but are they worse than Philly fans? And who you like, Byron?
Exactly.
Philly fans are
worse than the Philly
fans.
Excuse me, we're talking about the fans who actually boo Santa Claus. Come on.
Yeah, that's right. Hit a ref in the head with a snowball.
They're notorious.
Yeah.
They throw snowballs at their own players sometimes.
Damn,
that's right.
That's
I
true.
Just hope it's a good. I just hope it's a good game. I'm gonna make my chili. I'm a party of one. I'm gonna enjoy it. I'm gonna have fun watching it. I don't care who wins. I do. I hope it is Philadelphia. I'd like to see a different champion. You know.
Yeah.
And that would be nice if that is to happen. But if not, then it always comes down to, in the fourth quarter, it's always about coaching. And if you're not willing to take, if you're willing to play to keep from losing, guess what? You're going to lose.
Yeah.
That's a guarantee. You got to play to win. This is
yeah,
a big
game.
Super Bowl.
That's
this is our holiday, guys. We have we have Super Bowl Sunday for men and Hangover Monday the day after. Okay? After that, we give it over to the rest of the world.
Well, you know, when I see the Super Bowl played and it's gone down in the history books, I know spring season is about to start, you know, far as baseball is concerned. It's just a couple of weeks, you know.
Yeah.
The time flies by quickly. It's amazing.
Yeah. You're a baseball
so,
fan.
With Pataxikani Phil. Yeah, so tomorrow is Groundhog Day.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's guaranteed that he'll see his shadow and he's probably wearing number 12 with a Patriots uniform on.
Right.
Well, you're really optimistic there.
Right.
Upstate New York. Where is that? He's in Pennsylvania.
It's in Pennsylvania.
He's in Pennsylvania.
You know, New York has its own out at the zoo. So
I know.
Over in Staten Island, I believe it is.
Yeah,
right.
So, you know.
He might be wearing a Patriots jersey in that part of Pennsylvania. They're Eastern Pennsylvania, so they might be rooting for the Eagles. But I'll go for the Eagles too because I'm not a Patriots fan. I'm not a Tom Brady fan for sure. He's really a
were
good
you ever or did you ever
no,
have
never.
Oh okay
never.
All right.
Ever since
I give you props
much,
for that.
I never really thought about him. I felt sorry for them in the days of Steve Grogan when they were in the Boston Patriots because they were so bad.
Oh
but
yeah, that was
really the Brady. The Brady era, not really that much. And also when the Seahawks threw the game and let them win.
So Tom Brady
would win, but that's another story. I'm not going to talk about how much Pete Carroll must have got the call to run that play.
Exactly.
And instead of letting – and he didn't want Marshawn Lynch and Russell Wilson to be the face of the Super Bowl that year. Somebody didn't want them going to Disney World, especially not Marshawn talking about, I'm about that action, balls. They didn't want that image. So, you know. But I'll go with the Eagles because, like you, Wayne, I want to see somebody else get it. And, you know, the heck with the Patriots, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to, before we jump off here, what do you guys think? The Black Panther, movie is coming. Somebody called me up asking me about the Black Panther movie, that this was someone that really didn't know much about the comic book Black Panther. They had really been mistaken. They thought it was somehow related to the movement, the Black Panthers. And they heard comic, and they thought someone was making fun of that movement, but I had to explain to them, and they weren't really, they were someone who was new to the country, so they probably really didn't understand that well. But the Black Panther movie, based on the Marvel comic book, I don't know if you guys were into the comic, maybe that was, fell in your comic.
Admittedly, after my period,
right.
You know, because I grew up with Superman, Batman, and all that crap, and probably still have it somewhere buried in my parents' home in Brooklyn. But, you know, the deal is that from what I've seen on TV, this is certainly going to be an event to go. You know, the trailers have just been spectacular. And, you know, I don't know when it's released. I think it's coming out next week or something like that.
February 15th.
Yeah.
Okay,
So they had the red carpet release last night in L.A., and the Advance Fandango ticket sales are sold out for most of the performances on the first weekend. Last night, the red carpet walk was in L.A., and I hear it was spectacular.
Yeah.
Red carpet should be. And the reviews that I've heard are that the movie is spectacular.
That's what I heard, you know.
Now, a couple weeks ago, they had the comic book conference over at the Schoenberg about black comics and the comic book industry. And I went to the party afterwards that Lexus gave and came home with a glossy cover-to-cover edition of the Black Panther comic book, which had five stories in it. It was really well done. And I got to tell you, this looked great. And I think about this, guys. Our fantasies and our space involvement in space and science fiction, we narrow it down to just a few of the known writers like Octavia Butler. But we have been into sci-fi for quite some time. And the fact that now we have superheroes like the Black Panther is going to open up another whole market in our film industry, in our comic book industry, in an industry in which we have a good market to sell to. It's a brand new kind of market for us. So
you're absolutely right, Byron.
Go ahead, Wayne.
No, I was just going to say that, he's right. I mean, we have been doing this for quite some time with respect to an interest in it. I'm not one to embrace it, and I used to get into, and I'm going back at least 30-some-odd years ago when I was married, my ex, she was into everything sci-fi. I couldn't see it, you know? But there is an audience for it now.
Oh, yeah, there's certainly an audience for it. And for this, this particular, since they started redoing this whole thing of the superhero movies, even just the reboot of Batman and Superman, you know, there's always been the notion that a lot of the black fans of comics and things like that, you know, we're pushing the notion of black superheroes, first off. And secondly, for any characters that were similar, that were based on black characters, like Luke Cage and which is another Marvel character, in the Black Panther, and we know the Stan Lee in an interview said he was inspired by what was going on in the 60s and wanted to create a superhero, a black superhero that did that. So it's always been a notion and been an idea for people who are superhero fans of superheroes and comics and things like that, that people did it. So, it's a long time coming. It's great to see that it's done. Hopefully what's in the trailer is not all the best parts of the movie. However, you know, the advanced buzz on the film is that it's excellent, and it stands to really, you know, Marvel's got a track record now, and they've got to produce and make sure it behooves them to really invest and make sure this movie is successful. Ma, you wanted to say?
We're coming close to, you know, the...
Yeah, we're coming up on the end of the show.
Yeah, the end of the show. And I just wanted to mention a few people who are being, you know, who are going to be coming on the air. You know, Dr. Len Jeffries I've been trying to contact him. So if you, Len Jeffries, if you're listening in, get in touch with the K. Thompson Live Show. You'll know how to do it. Mayor Ras Baraka, downtown Newark. And for those of you who have not been downtown Newark, you need to see Newark, New Jersey. You need to see the Haynes Building down there. Those of you New Yorker, Byron and Wayne. I mean, and
I now, love downtown Newark.
Oh, so do I. I get tired of going into Manhattan.
Amazing.
Yes. You say that now. Anyway, also Reverend Jethro James, we're going to be talking to him. Richard Wesley. We're looking for Johnny Jones. And then, of course, there's going to be Ralph Grant. He's in charge of the Pillar College downtown. Newark is very successful. Bernard Marsh. You know Bernard. Broadway actors here in
Newark. Yes. Bernard and I are very good friends. Yes.
Oh, really? No kidding. You know everybody.
Yes.
Byron. Yeah, get in touch with him for me. Get in touch with him for me and tell him about
mine. Sure, I sure
will. We're gonna be dealing with acupuncture with Dr. Cynthia Page, by the way.
Oh, great. For those of you
who have health issues, acupuncture is absolutely wonder, because I use it. We're also going to be talking to the former United Nations ambassador to Antigua, Lionel Hurst, and he was on the air with us some years ago. Also, Wayne, we're going to be in touch with Adrian Council, because remember.
Adrian Council, I've heard that name.
Yeah. We have heard it. They're doing quite well. I know them quite well. Without us there, that magazine would not exist, and I'm going to get Adrian to admit to it. Also, I'm also going to go after? My buddy's daughter, Wendy Williams. I'm going to be going after her. And see if she'll come on. Okay?
Oh.
And who knows, maybe we'll get Whoopi Goldberg. They're in the area here somewhere. Between New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and so forth. So I'm going to, So there's going to be some changes.
Great. Well, that's good to hear. I look forward to it.
Use your best.
Right.
You too.
That's right.
Join us again every week, everybody, for K. Thompson Live. What do you say, Eric?
I said we have another 7 minutes to the show.
He says he has another 7 minutes to the show. Yes. You can talk.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that was the announcements coming up, but like we're talking about, like you were talking, making some announcements about that stuff, Ma, we want to certainly talk about the Black Panther, encourage everybody to make sure you go check it out. Don't be left out, because it looks like it's really a well-done movie, and, the actors in the trailer seem to have all really bought into the characters, and they're doing some very good things, and I think that we're going to see some cultural trends and things that are going to be spawned from this movie. I'm just looking at how there's one clip where the Black Panther is greeting his sister, and he kind of gives her a little power signal. They do a little cross X hand thing. And that's probably
adapt.
Going to be coming.
They do adapt.
it's not really adapt, but it's kind of like, in the old 70s when brothers, you see each other have the two fists out like what's happening in Black Power. And then they did a little thing where they crossed their arms and stuff like that. So, maybe that'll be, we can get to see people on the street start doing stuff like that. But I look forward to go ahead.
Eric, one of the things that's really important for us, that you and I are in the entertainment industry, and you can validate for a fact, our fantasies have yet to be really explored on television or film. We always seem to be mimicking the westernized version of fantasies, King Arthur, the Camelot. We can deal with
sci-fi. That's why I don't watch Game of Thrones.
Right.
You see all them stories before.
You
that's
see it.
Game
that's right.
Thrones.
And absolutely know that people of color have been in every storyline in the world. There are Black Russians, Black Chinese, Black Irishmen, Black Poles, Black, you name it, Black Koreans. We're here. And so our consciousness level is not just solely mired in slavery. And that's what Western civilization has done to us, to marginalize and minimalize our own experiential moments. And so I'm looking forward to it. I mean, people like Shabba Ranks and Michael Jackson, back in the early days when they were releasing their videos, they were stories.
Right.
They were really, really fantasy stories.
Exactly. That's the whole thing of if you tell people, if you don't give people, like Dr. Jeffries has said to us before, if you don't let people have a history before their bondage, then they begin not to see themselves as kings and rulers and not deserving to be free. That's why they don't tell them stories. A great medieval story, if they want to get medieval, like my man Vink said, would be the story about Hannibal when he took them elephants up through there and rocked them the world. They want to tell a story, but that's not one they want to see. That's not one they want to tell. And because if they did tell that, they'd have to change what Hannibal looked like. But then knowing that he had about three or four brothers, they got to change all what his brothers look like. That's a lot of lies to tell.
And when you go down to the lineage of the Italian people,
you guys, we're running out of time.
We're running out of time.
Anyway, Wayne Gilman, Byron Saunders, Mal Wolf, folks, we're going to be talking again about a number of other things. Really, we want to talk about the movie's Doc Panther. We're on the Bernard Marsh. I'm going to be contacting also, so we want you to tune in to K. Thompson Live every Wednesday. What were you going to be tying up the show, Eric? With?
Right. Okay. Yep, we're about that time. Guys, we're going to be going off the air right now. I want to say thank you to everybody for listening to the K. Thompson Live show. Tune in to us every Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m. And the show is archived. You can also listen to that. Byron Saunders, our resident co-host, brother, historian. You want to sign off there, sir?
Absolutely. Peace and love all the time.
All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for coming in and joining us, Brother Saunders. Brother Gilman, once again, it's always been real to have the legendary newsman on the show.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be here, and I'm so grateful to be here.
All righty. All right. Thanks again. All right. Once again, you can listen to the K. Thompson Live show every Wednesday live, 8 to 9 p.m. on the Blog Talk Radio Network / K. Thompson Live. You can also listen to the show because it's archived, and you can listen to us at any time you want. Just go to Blog Talk Radio / K. Thompson Live. I forgot to mention about this movie about the three men who were the 715, I think it was, to Paris is the name of the movie, directed by Clint Eastwood. And it's played by the three guys who lived through it, and two white guys, one black guy, and in their story, I saw a little news clip tonight, they all grew up together in Sacramento, California. And they happened to be vacationing together, and that's how they ended up being on that train that day and to do those very heroic acts. The thing that I wanted to point out to everybody is that here's one black guy, two white guys. They were childhood friends. They're still friends to this day. And in these times now, when we have someone who's trying to divide us, let's remember that we're all American. And that very simple example is that it's an example that's lived all across America, where a group of very diverse friends grow up together, don't see the outside, but they only see the inside and the content of their character, like one great man said. Maybe we can all do that and try to put this country back on track and to truly make it great again. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the K. Thompson Live show. Once again, I am the son, also known as Eric Citizen Payne. This has been the K. Thompson Live show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye now.